overview of the Bhagavad Gita in the next three classes, today, tomorrow and day after. So we do six chapters in one class, so something like 250 verses per class. Obviously we can't do justice, but we will try to get a sense of the overview to see how the Gita is growing. So actually I just took the Bhagavad Gita for Arjuna devotees. We completed 700 verses in 50 hours. So every day we would have a verse scorecard and required verse rate. We had to run out. So 42 hours to go, 600 verses remaining. So then 30 hours to go, 500 verses remaining, like that.
So it was quite exciting.
Hare. So this is the verse which Padra Manacharya has composed and is there in Sri Bhaskar. This is a special verse as an obeisance to Krishna as a speaker of the Gita. So besides this, I tell you, whenever I read Gita classes, we start with this invocation prayer. So he is describing Prapanna Parijataya. Prapanna is surrender. So for the surrendered devotee, he is the Parijat. The Parijat tree is the tree that gives everlasting shelter. Parijat is the tree whose flowers never lose their blossom. That means it is eternally sheltering tree. And totra vetraika panaye. Panaye is hand. Panaye one hand. Eka panaye. So in one of his hands, that Lord is the eternal shelter of all living beings. What has he done? Totra vetra. Totra vetra means the instrument for controlling the animals. He has become the charioteer of Arjuna. So he has taken the whip. He says the whip to control the animals. That is one hand. But what has happened now? So every verse is describing a different mood of Krishna. So he is the shelter of all living beings. But now, that Lord, who is shelter of all living beings, he has taken the role of a charioteer to serve his devotees. So, he has totra vetraika panaye. But then, as a charioteer, again he is manifesting his mood of Supreme Lord, because Arjuna has surrendered to him. So, jnana mudraya Krishnaya. Krishna is really grand instructor. And then what is he speaking? Gita amrita duhe. One who gives the nectar of Gita, to that Lord, I offer my obeisances. Let's start the instruction. Prapanna Parijataya,
Prapanna Parijataya,
Totra Vetraika Panaye,
Totra Vetraika Panaye,
Jnana Mudraya Krishnaya,
Jnana Mudraya Krishnaya,
Gita Amrita Duhe Namaha,
Gita Amrita Duhe Namaha.
So, basically now, what we will be trying to do is, understand the flow from section to section and chapter to chapter. So the chapter titles which are mentioned over here, don't try to note them down. If you want, I'll give you the PowerPoint later. But try to understand what is happening. Okay, before that, how many of you have read the Gita till now? At least once. Okay, how many have not read even once? Okay. Let's see how it goes. So, the first chapter is called as the Prabhupada called as observing the arguments of the battlefield. This has two names. Now, obviously, when Krishna was speaking the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is the end of it. Ataha dityo adhyayaha. Ataha dityo adhyayaha. That was not happening in the actual conversation. So, Vyasade, when he put everything in writing, at that time he divided into chapters. So, this chapter is sometimes called as Sainya Niriksha Yoga, or it is called as Arjun Ishad Yoga. So Gandhi Devon calls it Sainya Niriksha Yoga. Ishwara Chakra Devon calls it Arjun Ishad Yoga, the lamentation of Arjun. So generally in our sampradaya, there are Sriman Acharyas who have commented on the Bhagavad Gita. That is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the latest, he wrote Rasik Ranjan. Then before that, Gandhi Vidyavishnu wrote Gita Bhushan. Before that, Ishwara Chakra Devon wrote Sararsa Varshi. And now, prior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sridhar Swami had written his commentary, Subodhini, which is like a standard. So now, the Bhagavad Gita, the first chapter is basically a setting. So Arjuna comes as a start with Krishna. Does it start with Krishna? No, it doesn't start with Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra says, keep a cool water, what happened? So there is obvious logical fallacy in the question. After my party and their party assembled for fighting, what happened? What did they do? He's afraid that because of the clay, they may not fight. Then, it starts with Duryodhana's anxiety and Duryodhana replies, yes, so many forces on my side, so many forces on that side. The one thing is without it, Krishna. It is not that Krishna is on the other side. So you don't think of Krishna. That the entry of Krishna comes in the 14th world. It's a very dramatic entry. Sometimes if you are watching a movie, when the hero is allowed to come, maybe the hero comes in a car. So first, you see the wheels of the car, the brake of the car comes. And then the legs come out. Boom, boom. And then you show the hero. So like that. How the entry of Krishna is there?
Tata shvetai hayai yutte mahati syandale sitau madhava pandava shaiva yugyav shankau pradatmatau.
It is right. The 14th verse.
Tata shvetai hayai yutte.
So first, the bhai falls there. Shvetai hayai. Then, you go back to that. So first you see the wheels of the car. Off to the chariot. Then,
mahati syandale sitau.
Magnificent chariot is there. And then who is it there?
Madhava, Pandava, Shaiva.
So there is Madhava and then Pandava. And you want to
do it? Divya, Shankha, Pradatmatu.
This has to go in their conscious. That is the entry of Krishna. As Bhakta, a servant of the devotee. And then, interestingly, what happens after that? Suppose there are some signs of victory that by the blowing of the conch shell, their hearts are shattered, the Kauravas' hearts are shattered, and then there is Arjuna desire
is. What? Kai maya sa yodhavyam asmidrana samudhyame dhaprashya sasya durvulle yuddhepinish kirishava.
So who are those people who have come to assist the people minded Sama Dhritarashtra? I want to see them.
So, Samiksha, I want to see them.
So, when he wants to see what is his mood, he says that they are the evil, they are the assistants of the evil minded Sama Dhritarashtra. But as soon as he sees what happens, Sarvan Bandhu Navasthitan. No, they are all the Bandhu. So, the start of the Bhagavad Gita describes how over-dependence on Pratyaksha Pramana bewilders the devotees. So, Arjuna is with Krishna, but he relies on Pratyaksha. I want to see. And what happens? The seeing is all Pratyaksha and changes. That's what happens to all of us. Paramatma is in the heart of all of us. But instead of consulting the Paramatma, we require excessive effort to answer on our own senses. That is whole perspective changes. And then these five reasons why I will not fight.
Arjuna is not to say, I am frightened, I will not fight.
Arjuna is not an ordinary person. He is very, quite an intelligent person. He is philosophical reasons, logical reasons for not fighting. And then at the end of the 41st chapter and 46th verse, what happens?
विसृज्य सतरं चापं शोकसंविग्नमानसः
शोकसंविग्नः ओवरकम बाय सोरो
नयोत्थेति गोविन्द कृत्वा तूष्णीं बभूव
सेकंड चैप्टर टू दिस इज नो यू आई एम नॉट फाइट ओवर इन दैट वे सो अर्जुन गो रिप्रेजेंट द लिविंग एंटिटी डिटरमिनेशन सो Arjuna came out with the bow upright, ready to fight. But by seeing the battle field, he puts the bow. So like that, all of us have some determination to serve Krishna. But if you said, this went wrong, this went like this, that happened, then you said, I cannot do this. I cannot fight. I cannot do my service. I cannot do this. It's not possible for me. So he completely becomes disheartened. Then Krishna starts speaking. When Krishna starts speaking, first he tries to give a pep talk. You know what is a pep talk? Sometimes a friend is discouraged. Hey, come on, you're a tough guy. You can stand already. So Krishna tries to goad Arjuna.
Klaidyam Mahatmadamappa, Atha Vaitatva
Upapatya. Don't be a Klaidyam. Klaidyam means an impotent person. Actually, Krishna is referring to the Abhyatavas. And the Abhyatavas, Arjuna had acted as Brihalalla. So very important. So Krishna is sarcastically saying, you acted like a eunuch. Have you really become a eunuch now? So it's a verbal slap for Arjuna. But Arjuna said, I'm not a eunuch, I'm very intelligent. How do you expect me to shoot arrows at my grandfather, at my teacher, at my teacher? And then he says, I don't know. And he goes, I don't know, should I fight or should I just fight? Then when he surrenders to Arjuna, then the Krishna at that time says, Rahasanyiva Bharata. As if smiling. Krishna is Prahasan. Prahasan means smiling. But as if. Iva is as if. So why Iva? So Chakravarti Pad described. What happened? Normally Krishna, whenever anybody
in the Mahabharata, if you see anybody behaves inappropriately, Krishna laughs, say, what is this? You don't behave like this. So now also, because Krishna and Arjuna are friends, Krishna feels like laughing. What is this behavior, child? Cowardly behavior. But, you know, an equal can laugh at an equal. But if the disciple does something wrong, the Guru does not laugh at himself. The Guru is compassionate. So Krishna feels like laughing, but you see that Arjuna has surrendered to me, he becomes grieved. Checks his laughing. That's why prahasan is your heart. And then these five arguments which he gives, one by one Krishna counters those arguments. The first argument is of compassion. The Lord died. So first 11 to 13 Krishna says, no, so they are all eternal, how will they die? Don't bother. So that's so he counters the compassion argument also. Separate, sorry. So what happens is he says, oh yes, we'll be able to fight. We can fight because they're all going to die. So verses 25, 26, 27 and 30, all of them end with Tattvam Shoshitu Marhati, Nainam Shoshitu Marhati, Tattvam Shoshitu Marhati. Don't lament, it isn't who you to lament. So that is basically consoling him, his countenance, compassion on him. And Arjuna has said after that, oh, but you know, how can I enjoy all my religious things? So Krishna counters that by talking about Karmakanda. What is Karmakanda? Karmakanda means that we do dharma over here by that we can go to heaven and enjoy heaven. So he says, if you fight, if you win, you will get the kingdom here. If you lose, you go to heaven and you enjoy yourself. It's a win-win alternative. Actually, you will enjoy. And in fact, if you don't fight, what will happen? They will all call you bad names. You know, they will all call you as a coward. Mamsantetvam Maharatha. Eshamita Paramata Bhutsuaya Sushidhagama. All of them will think you are cowardly boys. So now this is the first level. Then after that, and suddenly, see what happens, many times some scholars study Bhagavad Gita, there are many contradictory things here. So, 37th verse, Krishna is telling Arjuna, oh, by this, Hatova Prasthi Shvatam, Jitvava Bhushatena. If you die, you get in heaven. If you win, you get here. Suddenly, next verse he says, Sukhe Sukhe Sambhe Dutva Lama Labhu Jayaji. Be equal, don't bother what happens in this place, just be equal in life. నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ you may not know that it is spiritual, it may be liberation workshops, but then for eternal destination. So then you start describing. But there is a famous verse in the Gita. Karma Devani Karma is coming. So most Indians love to quote this verse. But there are two verses Indians love very much. Karma Devani Karma is say, for those who want to do their work and not bother about God. And those who want to claim I am God, Sambhavami Ire. Sambhavami Ire. I come in every yuga. So in this yuga, I am God. And those who don't understand me, Avajananti Gampura. So what happens is Krishna tells Arjuna that actually by being detached, you will not be bound by karma. And as he's describing this, first he condemns karma kanda is all useless. You know, it is all going to give you temporary results and you will go to heaven and come back again. He says flowers, yamam pushpita vacham. The flowers are very beautiful, but they are short-lived. Flowers dry up. So like that, all the fruits of karma kanda will dry up. Therefore practice karma yoga. It was a very interesting analogy there. Yavan artha udapane sarvatana sanskrito dakshi. Kavan sarveshu vedeshu brahman sirjanata. He says, 246 that, actually, you can go to a river, go to a well and get some water from here, get some water from there. But if water is flowing everywhere, you don't need to go to any river. So like that, you understand the ultimate purpose of Veda, so you don't have to go on the rituals.
Actually, he concludes by this important question, like Ati Yoga Samadhi. You know, when in this way your mind has become fixed. The third verse says, in this way you are in Samadhi, then your mind is not disturbed by any processes of material enjoyment. So now Arjuna in the background is thinking, should I fight or should I not fight? All this philosophy is coming up, should I fight or not? So he's saying, you know, Samadhi, what is Samadhi actually? I don't think a person Samadhi to fight. So since he find out. So he asked, Krishna to tell me, what are the symptoms of a person who is attained Samadhi? So he's trying to correlate. Trying to correlate, will a person in Samadhi fight or not? And that's why he asked this question. Pita Pratikasya Ka Bhasha. So now, actually the question of you is strange. You know, what is the bhasha, what is the language of a Sitapagya, what is his speech, how does he walk, how does he say? Now, is Krishna asking about a fashion ramp model? How does he sit, how does he walk? So, you know, what is the style of sitting, what is the style of walking?
No, it's all symbolic.
So, Krishna answers those questions. Like, ka bhasha means what is the symptom? Kim prabhashi means how does he speak, that is how does he respond to the ups and downs of the soul. Kim asi means how does he control his soul, how does he sit. Kim rasi means how does he walk. So that section is systematically answered by Krishna. So 51st verse answers kim bhasha, 56th answers kim prabhashi, 58th to 63 answers kim asi, and 64th to 72 answers kim rasi, how does he walk. So very systematic answer of the simple Krishna. But when he gives the answer, Arjuna should in the background thinking, okay, should I fight or should I not fight? So that Dashi Krishna has a lot of words, Shanti. So Shanti Vati Gacchati. So because Krishna uses the word Shanti four times in that section, I say, oh Shanti, I should not fight. Then he said, I'll start the third chapter with the question to Arjuna. It will not happen to overview because I think I'm too technical. I'll just overview and describe what happened. So the third chapter Arjuna starts with him. Krishna, on one side you tell that ghastly karma you should give up, on the other side you tell me to fight, it is ghastly karma. So what is this? Please tell me clearly what is here. So then Krishna said, I tell you this to go. I told you over two parts. And actually, you have to understand what is the objective of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. His objective is ultimately to establish bhakti as the supreme. Bhakti as the supreme above all other parts. And how does he do that? By comparing various paths, which are practical alternatives for Arjuna, and showing how bhakti is best. So, now for Arjuna, there are only two options right now. He is thinking either I fight or don't fight. If I fight, that is bad karma. So he considers fighting to be karma. And if he's not fighting, is jhanyuva, when he renounces the remedy. I think that is better. So he is thinking only two options, fighting as bad karma, not fighting as Jnana Yoga is Vikarma. So it is not fighting, third party is better. But actually, Krishna has talked about three levels. Krishna has talked about Vikarma, he talked about Karma Kand, he talked about Karma Yoga. Vikarma is not doing one's duty. Karma Kand is doing one's duty to go to heaven. And Karma Yoga is doing one's duty to attain liberation. So Krishna has not explained this matter. So he says, actually, Karma Yoga is better for you, Arjuna, because you are not qualified for Jnana Yoga. We try to practice Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga means you renounce the world and go to the forest. You don't do that because you are not qualified. Why are you not qualified? Because you are not pure heart anymore. You become unincorporated. So therefore, don't do that. And then, that's the section he completes. So actually, third chapter is one of the most brilliant chapters. Krishna talks at three levels. First is, if you are this is Jnana Yoga, this is Karma Yoga, this is Karma Kanda. So he says, don't practice Jnana Yoga because you are not qualified. Practice Karma Yoga. But Arjuna says, Karma Yoga also requires one to be detached. I am not detached. What should I do? So therefore, even if you have to practice Karma Kanda and offer the fruits to them. So that is the section from So 10 to 16 years, you are not qualified for Karma Yoga, then practice Karma Kanda. But then Arjuna may say, oh, but I am qualified not only for Karma Kanda, not only for Karma Yoga, I think I am qualified for Jnana Yoga. If you are qualified for Jnana Yoga, okay, be qualified, but still practice Karma Yoga to set an example for us. So, and this is where Krishna can talk counter Arjuna argument of destruction of family territory. He says, if you don't do your duty, what happens? The karma kandi is sattaha and avidvam. He is attached and not intelligent. But still, as the asattaha, as the sattaha and avidvam act, you should act, set an example for others. And then he describes how karma yoga will elevate a person. So here, Arjuna gets a question. How can you say practice karma yoga? But practicing karma yoga is also not very easy. Why? Because karma yoga requires one to be nishkam. Nishkam means free from selfish desire. But calm keeps troubling everyone. Then he asks this question. What is it that makes people do wrong things? What is it that makes people go away from their part of duty? Kena prayuktoya papam jati purusha. Anichana vivarishaya valari vanyo yata. In 36 verse he asks, then what is it that forces people to act wrong? And then Krishna gives the answer. Tāneja prodesha yogunata muntavāya. Not so to Arjuna. One more passion. And then Krishna will overpower the person. How will it overpower? You know, last is not an enemy who's outside, that is not inside your room. It's our intelligence, our mind, our senses, and it bewilders us. And then Krishna gives two-point formula, how to control us. First thing is control the senses. Control the senses first. Asmatam Viryanyadav. After the number of answers, he said, engage yourself spiritually. Act spiritually. And then at this point, Krishna's answer ends. And suddenly the fourth chapter starts with apparently no connection. So the fourth chapter starts with Krishna telling, Mam Vivasvate Yogam Rottavanaham Avayam. I give this knowledge to Sankar. What is happening? Just when he's talking about how to talk to Allah, and suddenly I will know his son God, thousands of years ago. How did son God come into the picture? If I am in the height of the class is going on, and I am talking about how Allah, and suddenly I start talking about, you know, some scientist, and how I had a meeting with a scientist, and I spoke something, you know, what is the connection? So the connection is, Krishna is telling Arjuna, I don't think that this lust is your problem. Lust is the problem of everyone throughout the history of creation. And because it's the problem of everyone throughout the history of creation, therefore, right from the beginning of creation, I offer the knowledge that is only. So I give the knowledge to reverse one, and like that it is going on. So actually, Arjuna asks questions 18 times in the Gita. Arjuna speaks 18 times in the Gita. So then now how many times has he spoken? In the second chapter he asks one question. Third chapter he asks one question. Third chapter he asks two questions. First, second verse is one question. 36 verse, second question. Then now the fourth question he is asking fourth chapter. The both of them are equal. And God is so old. How could you have spoken to him? And that question becomes the theme. For the first time in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna reveals his position. So till now Krishna has just been a friend of Arjuna instructing. But now Krishna says, I am not just your friend instructing you, I am actually the Supreme Lord. So Krishna's supreme position, for the first time, we read for the fourth chapter. Before that, there is some hint which is dropped. In 2.61, Krishna says, Yukta Sita Matraha. In 3.30, he says, Mai Sarvani Karvani. So there is some mai is there. But the first time, the focus comes in the fourth chapter. And Krishna says, that Ida Ida Hidharmasya. Whenever there is a decline of religion, I come again and again and again. So, in this way, Krishna says, I am the Supreme Lord. And interestingly, what Krishna says is, that what does Krishna do? What are three functions Krishna does?
You know the word? You know Krishna comes?
परित्राय साधुना विनाशाय च विश्वनाम सर्वसंतापनाय सम्भवामि युगे युगे.
So, Krishna is saying three functions which he does, not 4.8 words. So what is he saying? Who is the person who does this function? Actually, the duty of the king, isn't it?
So, to kill the miscreants, to protect the pious, to establish dharma.
Who is the person who does this? The king. So, normally Krishna educates the king. Krishna creates a system to educate the king. That's what he taught about in 4.1.
I educated everyone and he said, take the king's away, getting this knowledge.
But when the king becomes weak, or when the king loses the knowledge, then Krishna is so concerned about the welfare of this world that he personally descends. And he does the work of the kings. So, Krishna on one side educates the king, on the other side, he comes and does the work of the king. So, Krishna does the role of both. A Brahmana and a Kshatriya. The Brahmana work is education, the Kshatriya's work is management, administration. Krishna does both. Krishna is so concerned that dharma is established. You know, what is the Brahmana uses? Shastra. And a Kshatriya uses? Shastra. So Krishna uses both. Krishna is using Shastra to teach Arjuna, and Arjuna on behalf of Krishna is going to use Shastra. So Krishna teaches Shastra to Vyavasmani. But when the Kale Neha Mehta, by the power of time, the Parampara is lost, then Krishna himself comes and gives Shastra. So then, after that, Krishna has a real purpose why he comes. Now, even if Krishna established Dharma over here, still he was in the place of repeated birth and death. So then Krishna says that I actually come to attract all the things. You know, as I said, Indian quote, this was Hiraya, Hiraya, say much more. But Prabhupada would quote the next word after. जन्म कर्म चिंतम एवं व्यक्ति त्यक्वा देहम पुनर्जन्म You come to give people the knowledge of how to come back. But why doesn't everybody come back? And so it depends on their desires. And then he describes, and some people worship the God, some people follow Varanashram. But in this way, different people are doing different things. So this is a long saga. So now Krishna describes. So what has happened is 3.36 to 4.15 is a sort of interjection, the insertion, because of Arjuna's two questions. Then Krishna from 4.16 will start talking about Karma Yoga. Because the great puzzle for Arjuna is that if somebody works, he will become bound by karma. How will he, somebody will not become bound by karma? So he says, he will not become bound by karma because such a person has jnana. So what is the jnana that he has? The jnana he has is that I am not the body, I am the soul. And because of that jnana he works with detachment.
Actually described
as a jnana yoga.
And that combines with this word.
Brahma panam brahma. So that is the verse which the impersonal, the Mayavadis, that is their Mahaprasade Govinda prayer. Whenever they take food.
ब्रह्मार्पणं ब्रह्महवे ब्रह्माग्रौ ब्रह्मणा उतं ब्रह्मैवतेन दन्तौ ब्रह्मकर्मसमाधिना ब्रह्महवे
ब्रह्मणाम् Mana Krishna. So there Krishna talks about different kinds of sacrifices. See, some people worship the God, some people do charity, some people do pranayam, some people open the manna kshetra. Like that Krishna has different processes of different people. And he concludes by saying that this is what you should do. Chakravarti Pal, Krishna Charitapur explains very interestingly that there are many statements in scriptures. But there are some statements that are informative, some statements that are instructive. You should do like this. which is instructive statement are far more important than informative statements. So question is very out.
For example, it is that some people do pranayama. So pranapanasamayukta, pranayama parayana heads. But Krishna says, what should you do, Arjuna? Tadvidhi pranipatena Hare Krishna. Surrender to him. Does that mean Arjuna has to get off the chariot and go out to find the guru who will surrender to him? No, he has already surrendered to Krishna. He has already surrendered to Krishna. And then here on saying Krishna says, what will happen? He glorifies knowledge by any view of the chakra. Why knowledge? Because knowledge is the foundation for correct action. Bhakti is the correct action, but knowledge is the foundation for correct action. Krishna says this knowledge is so powerful that it can purify one of all sins, whatever sins one may have committed. And then, so now Krishna is talking about jnana in great detail. And then again he uses the word chances, he says, So what happens to Arjuna? He is talking about deep philosophy and he is saying the real faith. So Krishna is talking about peace of the heart and Arjuna is thinking of peace of the battlefield. So there are two different conceptions of peace. The peace of the battlefield is, oh, if you don't fight, there is peace. But actually even when there is peace, there is so much agitation to our mind. And this goes wrong, this person speaks like this, or the weather is too hot, so many problems are there. So Krishna is talking about the peace of the heart that comes by living in harmony with God. So Krishna is talking about a different dimension. And Arjuna says peace, Arjuna says peace. And then suddenly, again, so Krishna is talking about jnana. And suddenly 4.42 says, he says, tasmāda jnana sambhūtam vrittam jnānāsīnātmanah chitvainam sanjayam yogam ātiṣṭo tiṣṭa bhārata. Uttiṣṭa, Arjuna, you stand down, rise and fight now. And he says, interestingly, use jnana as a weapon. Use jnana as a weapon in fight. So he says, because jnana is useful. And you say, saying jnana as a weapon, not fighting. What is this? So Arjuna asks the question, is similar to the Arjuna. He says, Krishna, what is this? You are telling me on one side that I should be jnani and on the other side you should be fighting. So then Krishna doesn't become annoyed. Sometimes you see that some people keep asking the same question again and again. You give answer, and then they ask the same question from a different way. You answer them, they ask the same question from a different way. So sometimes they will get angry, shut up. But Krishna doesn't do that. Krishna is very kind. Okay, I'll explain to you once again. And but Krishna is very intelligent. What Krishna does is, every time he answers the same question, he takes the answer deeper, deeper, deeper. So, although the question is the same, the answer is going deeper. That is the expertise of teacher. So in the fifth chapter, so earlier what had happened was, Krishna had told Arjuna, so that jnana yoga is higher, but you are not qualified for it. So the fifth chapter Krishna says, actually karma yoga and jnana yoga are equivalent. Because whatever fruit you can get by practicing karma jnana yoga, you can get also by practicing karma yoga. And then he says, what is that nature difference? Intelligence of a jnani. The intelligence of a karma yogi is the same as the intelligence of a jnani. And there are some very amazing verses over here. You think about them, you will realize that, you know, we can't practice this. What are the verses? He says, Naiva kinchit karomiti yukto manyeta tattvade. He says, whatever you are doing, you think you are not doing it. So, Chakravarti will be cooking nice prasad for us. If you are eating halwa, actually I am not eating halwa. Only the halwa is coming in contact with my tongue. That's all. Is it to think like that? It's easy to think like that now, but if the halwa comes, it's so delicious. So, just think that the senses are coming in contact with sense organs. I am not doing anything. Naiva kinchit karomiti. So now, that is the level of a jnani. So that's very difficult. So then Krishna describes, first, because the jnani thinks like this, therefore he is not found. And after he describes this, first he says, yeah.
don't bother about the slideshow. I think you have to be, because it's going to be intricate. So basically, at the end of the 4th chapter, Krishna first and introduces Paramatma. So earlier they introduced Atma, now we introduce Paramatma from 5.17 onwards. So by knowledge of Atma, one can be saved from bondage. But only by knowledge of Paramatma can one become liberated. And then he describes a very beautiful verse over there. The most famous verse which we often quote is, Yehi Samprasya Bhoga Dukkhayona Yehati. That Anu engages in really suffers. Before that there is a verse, how the enlightened person sees Paramatma every day. What is that verse? Vidya Vinayasam Pane Ramane Gavirasini. You see, the same suffers in the heart of everyone. And then when he is describing that section, he is describing the vision of equality of the Nishkantar Yogi, by which he sees not only the Atma as everywhere, but the Paramatma. And in the last three verses of the fifth chapter are the seed for the sixth and the seventh chapter. So the last two verses describe Usava Shtangyuga. And the sixth verse is the last verse is described Bhakti Yoga. This is the only verse in the fifth chapter which talks about Bhakti Yoga. So it is called Ashtanga in 27 and 28. And the sixth chapter talks about Ashtanga Yoga. Now Ashtanga Yoga is a very fascinating process because it is so complicated. So people get fascinated by something complicated. That's easy. Chant Hare Krishna. Then they are going to do Yajna. They are going to do fire sacrifice. They are going to come and do Akshara. They can offer the fire. How else it will come so much? People like to do yoga. People like to do something that is very difficult to do. And something easy to do? Anytime you can do it. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says that people whose houses are very close to the railway station, they are the people who miss the train most often. But the train is here only. We just go. We'll go. And then the train is coming, yes, we'll go. The train has come, yes, we'll go. The train has gone, we'll go. Next train is there. So like that, what happens is people take bhakti for granted. Because people take bhakti for granted, what is Krishna going to do? Krishna is going to show all these difficult processes you think they are so great. Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, and they are all good. But bhakti is greater than all of them. That's what he wants to do. So in the sixth chapter, Krishna does a very amazing analysis. The chapter was describing how one has to practice Krishna's Karma Yoga until he is thoroughly detached. And when he thoroughly retires, then he can go to Sangha and start practicing. Shuchodeshe putishthasya sthiramasanamatmana Natyu shrutam natvicham chayla jinakushosparam. Go to secluded, sacred place, sit in asana which is accurate. Samam kaya shiro vivam bharayan achalam sthira samprekshasika ramsam vishascha navalokayan. Tamam kaya shiro vrivam. So the back of backbone and neck and head should be a straight line. Achalam sthira. And what should you do? Samprekshya. See clearly. Continuously, right? Nasika agramsa. Look at the tip of the nose. Very little look at the tip of the nose. Look at the eye. Vishascha. Never look and don't look anywhere. The dead is in the jungle. Tiger comes. What happens? You can't have a context. You have to shoot it. Ashantatma digatati. You should have no fear. Completely peace with Prashanta. And then Brahmachari Pratesthitaha. Practice complete Brahmachari. And this way, Yukma Matasana Sanyamya Machitto Sita Sita Matparaha. In this way, first you look at the tip of the nose. So what should you know about the tip of the nose? There are people who know surgery, try to make their nose attractive. Krishna is not recommending that. They necessarily have some object of concentration. So from the tip of the nose, and it's supposed to move inward, 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 till one comes to the super soul in the heart. It's a long process. And modern times people do yoga, but actually they do yoga not for yoga's sake, they do yoga for bhoga's sake. And they want better health. There are books called Yoga for Sex. Now the basic principle of yoga is Brahmachari Vatensita. But they do yoga so that they can have better sexual ability. It's completely defeating the purpose of yoga. So anyway, Krishna describes this whole process. Long, elaborate, and very intricate process. And slowly he describes how you can realize Brahman, how you can realize Paramatma, how you can realize Bhagavan. And here, you know, actually sometimes the Bhagavad Gita is seen as a book of philosophy. And that's why people become a little frightened. So which philosophy is this? Yes, there is philosophy, but behind the philosophy there is a loving heart. And when we see that loving heart of Krishna, then we see the sweetness of the Bhagavad Gita. So then, Arjuna, after he hears this whole process, what does he say? Krishna, now this process is very difficult. Chancharam mana sakriya, Krishna pramadhi balavadhyam. So actually, Arjuna doesn't use the word Krishna to refer to Krishna very often. It is for Krishna very intimately. He used Madhava, Govinda, and very few occasions he used the word Krishna. Krishna is also very difficult, the mind is so restless. And to conquer it is more difficult than to conquer the will. So here we see Krishna at his sympathetic best. What does he say? Yes, Asamshayam Mahabaho Mano Nigraham Charam. No doubt it is difficult. Sometimes, next month is Sindhanikadish. So when you are doing Sindhanikadish Maksuka, somebody comes up and says, what? Be self-control. Here it is not. Here. I come here. Hopefully, this is that person. Yeah, it's very difficult. It's only once a year, and you practice the Ekadasi once a year, you get the benefit of fasting for all the Ekadasi of the year. You know, we be sympathetic and be encouraged. So, there are many times people ask questions, more than the answer, philosophical answer to the question, they need some emotional support and encouragement. So, Krishna understands that. It's very difficult, Arjuna. Yes, I know it is difficult. And then he says, it is possible if you follow the right process. Asanyata-atmano yoga tushkrapaiti-vemati vashyatna-vimata-chakyo-vaptamo. If you follow the right process, then you can do it. Then Arjuna is still a little doubtful. Okay, Krishna, if you say it is possible, I agree. But still, I think in one lifetime it will not be possible. What if somebody practices and is not able to complete? When you say one has to attain liberation, one has to become completely purified. But what if we are not able to get purified completely by the time of death? Or what if seeing the process is so difficult, one gives up the process afterwards? What will happen? So again, you know, before we answer the content of the question, we need to answer the intent of the question. And Krishna teaches us that. This is the longest question that Krishna asked to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. 3 verses is asking question. Most of the questions are just 1 verse or 2 verses. 3 verses he expresses his doubt. And the further thing that Krishna answers is Pātanaivehanātra-vināśa-tasya-vidyate nahi kalyāna-kaśyat-durgati-tāta-gacchati. So in 6.40 he tells Arjuna that, O Partha, one who engages in auspicious work never leads to destruction, either in this life or in the next life. One who does good, my friend, is never lost. So it's very encouraging, hope-giving, very sweet words. One who does good, my friend, is never lost. Tat. Tat is a very affectionate word. Krishna uses for Arjuna. As it is called as the destination of the yogi. If you practice a little bit, you will go to heaven and enjoy. If you practice a lot, you will be born a devotee from it. And this way you continue the practice. And then Krishna climaxes the whole thing by saying, so now there are 2 verses, 46 and 47 in the 6th chapter. So the 46th verse, Krishna is saying, glorifying yoga. And most of the yoga teachers, they teach only that verse. Parayatapasvidhyodhiko yogi jnanit bhyotimata urdhika karmikdashyadhiko yogi tasmat yogi tava arjuna. So they say that greater than the tapasvi is a yogi, greater than a jnani is a yogi, greater than a karmi is a yogi, therefore be a yogi. Therefore they say, practice yoga arana. That's what the yogi teachers teach. But they don't teach the next verse. What is the next verse?
Yogi.
It's a yogi, because those of you know, get us back together. Yoginam Among all the yogis, one who thinks of the constantly within his heart, he is the best. And now, after describing this, is the culmination of yoga. The current chapter Krishna will describe how there is another way to think of it. So the best yogi is one who thinks of the constantly. And he can think of it constantly by going to the jungle, meditating, controlling the mind, becoming fearless, practicing brahmacharya, and then discover the supersoul in the heart and thinking of it constantly. But there is another way to do that. That is why parable. And that is chapter 7 chapter. But at the end of the chapter, in the end here, what has Arjuna and Krishna accomplished basically? Krishna has accomplished two things. First is, he has told Arjuna how Jnana Yoga is impractical for him. Because you practice Karma Yoga. Jnana Yoga is impractical for you. So, it is not only impractical for you, it's not that Jnana Yoga is higher. Whatever result you get by Jnana Yoga, you get by Karma Yoga also. And then after talking about Karma Yoga, he says Karma Yoga itself cannot liberate. From Karma Yoga, you have to either go to Ashtanga Yoga or you have to go to Bhakti Yoga. Then he has shown from Karma Yoga you go to Ashtanga Yoga, and from Ashtanga Yoga one comes to Bhakti Yoga, ultimately. And now Krishna has described the direct route. So in the process, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. And then Karma Yoga directly goes to Bhakti Yoga. That Krishna will talk in the next chapter. So Krishna here has a very systematic plan in speaking the Gita. No. What is he trying to do? He is not just telling Arjuna to fight. Through Arjuna's illusion, he is educating all of us. Because in the Vedic culture there are so many different paths, and because of that there was confusion. So which is the supreme path? Which is the best path? Krishna clarifies all that confusion. And make sure that the highest understanding is established crystal clear. So Krishna concludes by saying in the fifth chapter that, this is the yogi who is the best one, thinks of me constantly in my heart. And that, you can all do by chanting Hare Krishna and thinking about Krishna's service. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivedanta ki jai.